Parshas Vayechi, Beis Tfila, Tov Shin Ayin He. Says Yaakov in Perek Memches Pasuk Zayin, as he is trying to convince Yosef to commit to bury him in Eretz Mitzrayim, and says Yaakov, Vani bevoi mi padon. Meis olai rochil beretz Kanan, baderech boit kivras eretz lova efrasa. Your mother died on the way. Ve'eg baroshom baderech efras hi beis lechem. Your mother died on the way. I buried her right there. Says Rashi. Ve'eg baroshom lo yehoylachtio afilu lebeis lechem. I didn't even take her to beis lechem. I buried her on the way. V'yodati sheyesh belipcho alai. I know that you are upset with me. I know that you are upset that I didn't give your mother a burial in the proper place. Aval dalecho shal pi adibur karvati osham. Says Rashi, but you should know that I did it al pi adibur based on Hashem's command. Why? Why bury on the way? Later on, when Nevuzadran would send her children in exile, they would pass by her grave in Beis Lechem, Kever Rochel. Yotz is Rochel al Kivra uboicha. Rochel comes out and cries, umevakeshes oleim rachamim, and requests mercy for them. Shenemar kol baroma nishmo. Rachel mevakal boneo, that she is crying for her children. There is a reward for your actions. V'shavu num Hashem, v'shavu bonim nigvulam. Very nice. So Rachel is there to daven for the Klal Yisrael when they go in exile, and indeed, she gets answered. V'shavu bonim nigvulam, and they will come back home. Question is, what is special about Rachel? Why is it that Rachel's tefillah gets answered versus other forefathers? Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Leah, Sarah, we have many avos and imois. What is unique and special about Rachel's tefillah? The answer to that is to be found in a different Rashi. The Rashi in Yirmiyahu. On the Pesukim we just quoted, Rashi in Yirmiyahu, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Dalet, on that very Pasuk of Rachel Mevaka al Boneo, says Rashi over there, Omedr Shagoda, Sheholchu Avos Vaimois, our forefathers went, Lefayes Es HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to appease Hashem, Al Shehemit Menashe Tzelem Behechol. Hashem was very angry that Menashe positioned an Avodah Zorah inside the Heichal. The Avos went to appease HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ve'loi nispayis. He didn't accept there what they had to say. Nichnasa Rachel lefonav, and Rachel entered. Rebbeinu shel Olam, she asked him, Rachel mei mi merubim, who has greater mercy, Rachamecha or Rachamei Basar Vadam? Is it Hashem's mercy is greater, or mercy of mortal human beings? Who has greater mercy? Hevi Omer Rachamecha Merubim. Of course, Hashem's Rachamim is greater. Says Rachel, V'alo yanich nasti tzarasi b'toich beisi. I brought in a tzara, a co-wife, into my own home. Because all the years Yaakov worked, the 7 years he worked, were all for me. And yet, when I came to get married, I found my sister under the chuppah. And I had rachmanas, she had rachamim on her sister. V'loidai sheshasakti. It's not enough that she kept quiet, she was silent. Ela shemasalti lo simonai. I gave over the simonim to help her. Afato, and likewise you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, If your sons have also brought in a co-wife, competition, into your own home, into the Beis HaMikdash, they brought in Avodah Zarah, still, you should have rachamim as well. And said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your fellow mother senegoria, you defended them very well. Yes, sechalu pulaseich, letzitkuseich, shemasar simonich lelachoseich. Therefore, the pu'ula you did, the simonim you gave over, you have sechar, and therefore, I will have mercy on your sons. So we see over here, when Hashem was very, for the Avodah Zarah, they brought in, the Avos couldn't take away Midas Hadin. Hashem was angry. Midas Hadin for bringing Avodah Zarah. Avraham couldn't do it. Yitzchak couldn't do it. Yaakov couldn't do it. No one could defend Klal Yisrael. Only Rachel. With what power? Rachel's claim was, Vitarti, gave in. I also had competition. I gave in because I had Rachmanas. And this koyach of vitur, the koyach of vitur, a person who gives in, is a koyach that could save Klal Yisrael. Yes, chalapul oseich. We tend to think to have zchuyos in shamayim, we need to work on our dveikus b'Hashem, to be very, very spiritual, fast for days on end. Avos Hashem, dveikus Hashem. That's what we think gives us tremendous kirvas Hashem. But when we're fighting our neighbor, having an argument, yes to build, not to build, where to park, not to park, wherever, ain't safe. We don't think this is an opportunity. Rachel teaches us, you should know, these times when you're in a situation that people are doing wrong to you, and you decide, out of Rachmanas, out of goodwill, you want to give in. It's a tremendous opportunity for Zchus in Shamayim. If there's any Midas Hadin on us, and we do this action of Vitur, this can take away the whole Midas Hadin. Because Midah connected Midah. If we're with other people, Hashem can mevater to us. And it's a tremendous opportunity. It's a completely different outlook. We tend to think, we have our rights. We've got to fight for ourselves, stand up. We won't let people trod over us. You should also think it's an opportunity. People look for zgulas. Here's the zgula. I met a certain mechanech who told me he had a shutfus in a school, a successful school. He started the school off. And as time went on, there became certain friction between him and another member of the staff in the anhola, in the management. And it was getting worse and worse. They couldn't get on together. This mechanech told me he decided he's going to give in. He's going to leave. He's going to resign. Tom, it's very difficult for me to resign. It's a school I built. I got it going. But he saw this as an opportunity for Shalom. Vitarti and I davened. The nischus I have chasonim bnei Torah. I want chasonim tamidei chacham in the schus of vitarti. That was his feeling. He saw this as an opportunity. Didn't want to make a machlokes. He saw it wasn't going. They can't continue as they are. Instead of fighting it out, he said, "Vitat, I'm resigning." And indeed, he has very, very wonderful chasonim. I see them. Wonderful chasonim, really special. So this was my tefillah. It's a different outlook to life. As once, my parents live in a place in a secular town. Once on Shabbos afternoon, 5 o'clock in the afternoon in the summer, there was a secular child, a kid. Near where my parents live, there's an open area, empty area, wasteland. There was a child playing there, and an old man from a neighboring building says, "You're disturbing me. Go away." Now, this is mid-afternoon. This kid was playing. He was in a not in a private area. I mean, it's a wasteland. Nothing there. So obviously the old man is not correct. But I was thinking, you know, the kid could play somewhere else. All of a sudden I hear this voice, "Nimrod!" It was his mother. "Stay there! Schutcha! It's your right to stay there. Stay where you are, don't leave." "Israeli, Yitzhar, you're right. This is, he has no right to tell you what to do. You stay there, don't move." So that's, she's right. I mean, a pidin. He's right. It's not, it's his afternoon. This old man has no, cannot demand the kid to move. But what's the Torah attitude? Here's a chance. It's a chance that you can only create goodwill by trying to be flexible. If this old man's wanted to sleep, we'll play somewhere else. Nistader. If you have goodwill, anachu nistader, we can make things work. So this is what we learn over here from Rachel. The schus, when she was in a situation, it was her husband, it was Yaakov was there for her. And she was being manipulated. She could have spoken up and the whole thing, the plan would have fallen apart. But she didn't, she was quiet. Not only was she quiet, she went and played the game. And she actually gave over the simanim to Leah. She had, out of rachmanis, to her sister, not to embarrass her, she gave everything up. In that schus, v'shavu banim l'gvulam yeschalu pulaseich. No one else can make it. Avram, Yaakov, Leah, Sarah, no one else can help us. But the Rachel, yeschalu pulaseich, because of that, because she gave in. And therefore, if we, in our life, we have situations where we also feel the same. We're being manipulated. It's kedai to think about it. It's, you're not going to lose out. Rav Shach writes, I think he writes in the Kovas Ma'amarim, not Kovas Ma'amarim, in his Igros. I'm pretty sure I saw it there. Shach writes, "Nar ho'yisi ve'gam zokanti. I've lived a long life. Never have I seen someone who lost out by giving in." About to enter a machlekes, about to fight things out. If you give in, I never did I see someone losing out. You won't lose by it. By creating the fostering the shalom, avoiding the machlekes, avoiding the friction, you won't lose out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will look after you in a different way. It's an opportunity to get siyata d'shmaya. If there's any chas v'shalom, any midas din on us, if we give in, we don't stand up for what for our rights, and for the sake of shalom, we'll get the siyata d'shmaya, and if midas din will also give in, we'll be zeicher to good things. Yaakov continues to speak to Yosef, and he says in Perek Mem Ches Pasuk Hey, "Va'ato shnei bonecho hanuyladim lecho be'eretz Mitzrayim." Your two sons who were born to you be'eretz Mitzrayim, ad boye lecho, the ones who were born before I came, Mitzrayim, Lihem, Ephraim and Manasseh, Keruvein and Shimon, Yuli. Says Yaakov to Yosef, the two sons, your sons that were born in Mitzrayim before I came, they're for me, and they'll be equal, like Reuven, like Ephraim and Manasseh will be like Reuven and Shimon. The question is, it doesn't make sense. To the contrary, the sons that were born after Yaakov came, there, when Yaakov was there, present, they should be more connected to Yaakov than the sons who were born before Yaakov came around. It's contrary to logic. Yaakov says, the sons of Atah, Shnei Bonecha, Hanoilodim Lecha, Beretz Mitzrayim, Ad Boye Lecha Mitzrayim. Only the ones who were born before I came, they are the ones who are going to treat them like my children. Keruven v'Shimon Yuli, Liheim. The sons that were born after I came, I was at the Shalom Zohar, I was the son that got their bris. Everything else, I taught them for their bar mitzvah. I taught them Torah. The ones who were mamish with me together, they're not like my sons. They're your sons. The sons who weren't there, who were not present, were there before I came to Mitzrayim. Only they, I will treat them like my sons. The rest will not be my sons. They'll be my grandchildren. You'll be your sons. They'll be my grandchildren. It doesn't make sense. It should be the opposite way around. It should be the sons who were born after I came. They're close to me. The sons that were born prior to I came, they're your sons. I don't. They're step away. Says the Moshe Feinstein in the Drash Moshe, we learn from over here a lesson in chinuch. How strong does our chinuch have to be? It's one level to educate a child when he is in a protected environment. He's in a yeshiva, he's in a frum area, he has good friends, protected family. That's one level to educate a child in that environment. Daven every day, say brachas, kaveitim la Torah, wonderful things. That's one level. But the chinuch we give our children has to be strong enough and long lasting that even after they leave a protected environment and no longer are they in the Beis HaMedrash, even they're now living in an area where there's no Yiddishkeit, where they're surrounded with people who are non-believers, they're surrounded by Avodah Zorah, Gid Arayas, the chinuch we have to give them today has to be strong enough to last even when they're not in an unprotected environment. That's how strong it has to be. Therefore, by Yosef, Yaakov's chinuch to Yosef was so strong that not only when Yosef was around Yaakov was Yosef conducting himself in the right way, but even after Yosef went down to Mitzrayim, in the tomb of Mitzrayim, among the Avodah Zorah of Mitzrayim, the Gid Arayas of Mitzrayim, Yaakov's chinuch was long lasting. He gave Yosef the kelim that Yosef stayed a tzaddik even in Mitzrayim. But not only that, even Yosef's children who were born in Mitzrayim were also tzaddikim, Ephraim and Manasseh. So therefore, it was Yaakov's chinuch he gave to Yosef was so strong enough. Not only was it good enough when Yosef was around Yaakov, but it was strong enough that even Yosef left Yaakov was in Mitzrayim. And it was strong enough, Yaakov's chinuch was strong enough, we gave to Yosef, it was passed on even to his children who were born prior to Yaakov came. Therefore says Yaakov, Liheim, it's all part of my chinuch. It's the seeds I planted in you were strong enough that were transferred even to your children before I came to Mitzrayim. Liheim, Keruven v'Shimon Yuli. The children that are born after I come, no, we don't see it anymore. They're now in the Beis HaMedrash. They're around Yaakov. They're now in a protected environment. Very nice. We don't see the Koyach HaChinuch. We don't see it anymore. But that's where the children were born before I came. There I see it. Liheim, I see my chinuch. I see what I planted in you. Oh, therefore that to me, the equal like Reuven and Shimon will be the same way. But the message is, of course, that we have to think big. And we have to give our children the kelim for them, even when they will no longer be in a nice protected area. They have to be strong enough to withstand even when they'll be in different scenarios, the seudas we give them, the emuna we give them, the bitachon we give them, the midas tovus has to be able to be last even for later on in life, and that's an important thing to think about. Yaakov Avinu continues in Perek Memches Pasuk Chavdeis. Vani nosati lecho Shchem echad alachecho. I give you another portion. Ashalokachti miyada imayri becharbi ubekashti. I took with my sword and my bow. What does that mean? Becharbi ubekashti. Says the Unculus, says the Targum, Becharbi is Tzelusi, my prayer. Ubekashti is referring to my Bakosha, referring to Babausi, my requests. So I'm giving, I have two portions which I took. I have extra portions to give because I took them through Becharbi Ubekashti, but Tzelusi Ubebausi, through my prayer and through my request. First of all, we have to understand, why is Unkelus deviating from simple pshat? Isn't simple pshat a cherev, a sword, and pekeshes, and a bow and arrow? Isn't that simple pshat? Why is Unkelus deviating from simple pshat? The answer to that is because there's a difference between a sword and a bow. The arrows are shot from distance. As you approach the enemy, first of all you shoot your arrows from afar. As you come near, face to face combat, that's when you use your sword. So the way of war is, you start off with your bow and arrow, shoot arrows. Even today, it's exactly the same thing. As the soldiers move in, they'll shoot the mortars. And then, as soldiers come in, they use their hand weapons. So therefore, it should have been Shalokachti, Bekashti, Ubecharbi. That should have been the way we would expect. If it really meant weapons, in military warfare, use your keshes, and afterwards use your cherev in the face-to-face combat. The fact that Torah switched them around, this shows us that it's not simple pshat. It's a mashal for something else. Okay, so what is it referring to? Charbi Ubekashti, what's the difference? The Meshe Chochma and the Briskerov both explain the same idea. The difference between the Charbi and the Kashti, and there's a nafkemina between them. Cherev, a sword, is very, very sharp. It's designed to be very, very sharp. If you just run your fingers over, you can get cut. The bow and arrow is not necessarily sharp. The arrow is not necessarily sharp. It's mainly through the tension. You pull the bow and it springs back. That's what gives the arrow the power. The is sharp of itself. It only is a bit of human strength. But it's sharp. It cuts. The arrow of itself doesn't do much. Of its own, doesn't really cut. It is the force that's given to it, the energy that's put to it, the bow that's coming down, that's what gives it the power. It needs to, doesn't have its own independent koyach. Therefore, we have the tefillah, our regular tefillahs, our Shmoneh Esrei, and we have our personal bakoshas, our private requests. There's a difference between them. Because the general tefillah, this is good news, Rabbi Isai. The good news is that the general tefillah, that the Anshei Knesset HaGadol Matakin, has a koyach of itself to be poil. It's like the sword. As we said, the sword has its own koyach to cut. It only needs a bit of human force. But mainly has its own koyach. Therefore, the good news is that the Ashwan Esrays have a koyach, even if we don't have proper kavona. Even a ma'at kavona is sufficient. As the Lacha says, pas in Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Aleph, if you mechaben for obvious, the seder, then b'dievet, that was enough. If you mechaben just for obvious. Meaning, the Shmunes has a koyach. As, right? Only with a bit of kavona, it can work. Masha inkein, that's unlike bakoshas. We have a private bakosha, we want refuah, we want parnasa, we want toyer, whatever you want. That is you, and it's up to you. And there you need real, full kavana. And therefore, the Gemara says in Barba Basra, Kol mi sheyesh lechoyle betoyer beisai. Nebuch, a person has an ill family member. What should he do? Yelech etzel chochom bivakesh olav rachamim. You go to a chacham. Why go to a chacham? Why can't you just daven? Because this is like guide the arrow. You need to have someone strong to pull it. And therefore, I go to a chacham, someone with schuyas who can pull for me. Because it has to be, it's not going to happen by itself. The Gemara says in Tainis, Daf Ches, Ein tfilose shel odom nishmas. A person's tefillah will not be heard in Shemaim. Elem ke meisim nafshoi bekapoi. He puts his soul in him. Shenemar, Beniso levaveinu el kapayim. Whatever that means, it's something very intense. Put your hearts in your hands. Ask the Gemara, Eini, Mabaya. But you have to do so much to daven. Ask the Gemara. It says in the Pasuk, Vayifatu befiem. They were mefatim with the words. Ubilshoina michazvuloi. They were lying to him. Veliban roilochon imoi. They didn't mean it. Their heart wasn't there. Vafat bikein. Vuhu rachu michaper ovain. They got it. They got answers. Even though there was doing lip service. They were saying words. They didn't even mean them. So ask the Gemara, why do you say that for tefillah? You have to nisal of avinu al kapayim. You have to put when you're davening, Hashem, you have to put your heart in your hands, whatever that means. It's very intense. It's rabaya. Just say the words. Lip service. So the Gemara, ha be yachid, ha be tzibur. The tefillah tzibur has that koach. So if you say the words, it's like the cherev. It's the koach of the tzibur. If you say the words, do the minimum, it can work. Of course, the more effort you put in, the better it will be, no question. Like the sword, the more energy you put in, the better it will be. But it can still, there's still a minimum. It can work, even with a minimum amount. Mashenken, the bakoshas, that's all you. And now you have to work hard. You have to have real schuyos. So it's something to think about. It's to appreciate what a tefillah b'tzibur is, to appreciate what the Shemoneh Esrei is. We sometimes are, we go to sleep, but you have to do it. It's a very powerful mechanism. It's a chesed that's been given to us through the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, that even if we are not up to that level, it can still be poil for us. Of course, the more we put in, the more we get out of it. And the bakoshas have to really be sincere. Bakoshas don't work just from lip service. And the Meshech Chochma brings the pasuk into Tehillim. Shema Hashem Tchinosi, my Tchina, my request, please listen to me. I'm begging you, please accept them. Because I don't know if you're going to accept them. But Hashem Tfilosi Yikach, my Tfila I know it'll take. As we said, Tfila works. The Bakosha needs Chesed Shomayim. At the end of the parsha, after Yaakov dies, Vayiru Acheyoy Aviem, Vayoymu, this is to be found in Perek Nun, Pasuk Tezvav. The father has died, and the brothers are afraid that Yosef is going to take revenge on them. Vayoymu, Lu Yistameinu Yosef, Vahoshev Yoshiv Lonu, Eskola Ro, Ashegmolan Ve'oysoy. Maybe Yosef is going to repay us for all the bad we did to him, he is going to do to us. They're very concerned about that. Rashi is bothered by the word lu yistameinu. Normally speaking, lu yistameinu means halavai. That's the normal meaning of the word lu. Lu masnu b'mitzrayim, halavai. Here, that doesn't make sense. Lu yistameinu Yosef, what halavai will hate us. That doesn't make any sense. Says Rashi, it means shema, means perhaps. And says Rashi, there's no precedence for this in the Mikra. You will not find anywhere else in the Mikra, in the Tanakh, that we have this usage of the word lu. It's a unique usage of the word lu as not halavai, rather it is shema perhaps. En doime lo eid ba mikro. Okay, that's what Rashi says. The Malbim has a phenomenal pshat. I didn't believe it. I had to look him up. I couldn't believe what he said. Says the Malbim, lu means the regular halavai. Halavai, he will give us bad, do it bad to us. What's the halavai? Because there's a way you're allowed to do nakama. We know that revenge is very bad. There's one way, a sweet revenge. You can revenge your enemy, pain him, no end, and it's mutter. Wow, what's that? The pasuk says in Mishlei, Perek Chof Hei, pasuk Chof Aleph and Chof Beis. Im ro'ev soinecho. If your enemy is hungry, what should you do to your enemy? Ha'achileu lechem, give him to eat. Ve'im tzomei, if your enemy, the one you hate, is thirsty, what should you do? Hashkeu mayim, give him water to drink. Ki gecholi matachishoy, you are pouring coals on his head. Vashem yeshalem loch. And Hashem will repay you for your good deed. Says the Malbim, Kloimar, if you want to take revenge on your enemy, don't beat him up. Rather, give him good. You will get revenge. Ain't Daimelon. It's mamash revenge. He'll feel so bad. He did bad to you, and you'll give him good. He'll be so embarrassed. It's sweet revenge. That's mutter, and you get schar. Hashem yishalem lo. Zok the Malbim. The brothers were saying, "Lu yistameinu, halavai do bad to us. We're concerned he might be good to us. Then we were so embarrassed. We did bad to him, and he's doing bad to us. Lu yistameinu, halavai should do bad to us when we get this over with." That's what Malbim says. But he's not the only one, because that's how. The Ralbag, the Matsudas David, that's how they learn the Pasuk in Mishlei. Where the Torah is telling you, wait to take revenge on your enemy, do good to him, and he'll feel so bad. It's like coals on his head. Who argues with the Malbim? Rashi. Rashi didn't learn that way. Rashi says, it doesn't mean halavai, it means shema, and there's no precedence for this in Mikra. So what does Rashi do with that Pasuk in Mishlei? Take revenge on your enemy by giving him good. Rashi l'shitasei, because Rashi there learns differently. Rashi there in Mishlei explains, what does it mean? Im ro'ev soinecho. Says Rashi, it's referring to the Yetzer Hara. If your Yetzer Hara is hungry and he wants to fill you up with averas, he's not getting fed. He wants you to feed him with averas. So what should you do? Take him to the Beis HaMedrash. Ha'achileu lachmo shel Torah. Right? Imro'ev sonecho ha'achileu lechem, lechem of Torah. V'intzomei hashkeu mayim shel Torah. And that will be a wonderful deed. It's not referring to take revenge. It's talking about the Yetzer Hara. Therefore, Rashi b'shitasa doesn't have that option. Doesn't have the option of giving good to your enemies for the sake of hurting them. No, so Rashi says, Enloi dimim b'mikra. But the Malbim is not just the Malbim. The Malbim, the Ralbag, and the Mitzvot, that they learn the pasuk literally. That's the way you want to do. You want to hurt your enemy, give him good. So that's mutar. Therefore, interesting idea. Interesting idea. The way a hefty way of taking revenge on an enemy is being good to him, and he'll feel so bad. Okay, this week we learned about Yisachar Zvulun. We find Zvulun and Yisachar. And Rashi tells us they're written together because Yisachar Zvulun would be mefaunis Yisachar. Smach Zvulun b'tzeisecho v'Yisachar b'olecho. And they would share. And this is in fact paskund in the Ramah Yoredeya Reish Mem Aleph Sif. We find it. Socha Zvulun is a lochi concept. It's a real deal, they share. And Zvulun has to share what he makes, and he has to share with his Sochar. The question we want to pose is, does your Sochar lose out? In the same way that Zvulun goes 50-50, he has to share what he makes with his Sochar, is his Sochar actually sharing his Torah with Zvulun? Does his Sochar end up with 50% less or not? Huh? No, it doesn't lose out? How do you know? Okay, yes. Does everyone agree? Well, you are mechaven to that flaw. That flaw in the Akdamah Teksubas, if you look over there, says that flaw, it's like a nair. In a nair, you can take as much fire as you want from the nair. The nair stays the same. That's therefore, even though Zvulun loses that 50% of what he makes, he has to share, but Yisachar doesn't lose out. They both. What?
It doesn't lose either.
How do you know? Why?
Oh,
this is not Stoka. This is not so. Rav Moshe Feinstein Tshuva says this is not Stoka. Were it to be Stoka, Zvulun, Yisachar had assets. He's not eligible to get Stoka. He had the whole land. He had inheritance. He got chelik neitzol. A person has assets who wants to sit and learn is not an oni, says Rav Moshe. Furthermore, it will be hilchas tzedakah. There's a seder in Shulchan Aruch hilchas tzedakah. Mamzer Talmud Chacham comes before a kohen gadol amoritz, and it says in Shulchan Aruch it goes by chokhma. If you have tzedakah money, you have to give it to the biggest chacham. If indeed it's hilchas tzedakah, you couldn't choose your sochar. You'd have to take the biggest chacham in town and do the deal with him. You couldn't choose your neighbor or your son. So it's not milchut tzedakah. So therefore says that flaw, really, Yisachar doesn't lose out. It's like a nair. And in there you can take as much fire as you want. So that's why in the mission of us, Sheli shalcha, shalcha sheli, zo am oretz. The am oretz thinks, Sheli shalcha, I'm Zvulun, I'm imafanis you. So we share. You share my money. Shalcha sheli, I'm sharing your Torah. Am oretz. Am oretz. He doesn't understand. You're not sharing the Torah. You get Torah and he gets Torah. The money you share, but not the Torah. As I zogt, the flaw. Rav Moshe Feinstein, in Tshuva, in Yoredeya, Chelek Dalet, he doesn't agree b'chlal to that flaw. He doesn't mention him by name. The whole thing is a mistake to compare it to a candle. It's not doing it to a candle. A candle has an independent light. It burns. It could share its fire with another candle. Fine. The Yisachar doesn't have the ability to learn. What is Yisachar's Zvulun? Yisachar wants to learn 24 hours and he can't because he has parnasa to take care of. So Zvulun says, I'll do the parnasa and you sit and learn. So we're discussing, Yisachar only enters the partnership so he won't have to do the parnasa so he can learn. He doesn't have an independent candle. He's only learning b'schus Yisachar, b'schus Zvulun. You can't compare it to a candle. A candle, it really burns. You say, oh, it doesn't lose out by sharing its fire. Here, the candle can't burn. The Yisroch is learning extra because of Zvulun. Can't compare it to a candle. Says the Moshe is Poshut. It's a Shutfus in the Torah as well. Poshutim. Ramosh and Tshuva. There's a huge Tshuva about this. It's his Shutfus in the Torah. And therefore, Yisroch loses 50%, but it's G'day for him. It's G'day. In the Meshech Chochma, in this week's parasha, says the Meshech Chochma, Vayar manucha ki toiv, ve'es ha'oretz ki no'imo, ve'yeit shichmo il izboil, ve'yi le'mas oiveid. So the Meshech Chochma, mas, he gives the tax, because Yisrocha gives his Torah to Zvulun. Ve'yi le'mas oiveid, and the Meshech Chochma is posher to him, it's a tax, Yisrocha loses, takes, his Torah also gets divided up 50%. It's a machlekes about this, whether Yisroch loses out or not. No, have a good Shabbos. Thank you very much. What do you mean Yisroch? It's mutter. It's mutter. If Yisroch needs this, it's mutter. It's pas nalocha. The Chazon Ish in Igros he was involved in. He writes the Nusach. It's mutter. It's definitely mutter. Huh?
He's very chamer. He says also the Yisachar Zvulun.
Yeah.
The Zvulun has to get literally 50%.
It has to be literally 50%. They can't change the conditions.
I don't think the Velt is naive like that.
He agrees. It's only up
He's
to Yisachar.
Very humble.
Right. But you should know, we're not trying to make Yisachar rich. It's only up to Yisachar's needs. And he also says a very rich man who makes millions. So he doesn't have to. He makes Yisachar Zvulun. There's no reason why Yisachar should get millions of dollars. We're not trying to make him rich. It's only up to the level the Yisrocher needs are taken care of.
Why?
Because why should Yisrocher make money?
Someone has to give 50% of his.
It's up to the needs of Yisrocher. But once we meet Yisrocher's needs, why should we get more? Yisrocher's not trying to make money. Yisrocher's trying to learn. Just he needs his parnos to be taken care of. Fine. So he goes to Yisrocher's Zvulun. Now he can sit on the issue of that, he knows he's been taken care of. But there's no need to give him millions of dollars. He doesn't need that. You give him all he needs, now he can sit on Ruik.
You know there are places that give out tudot of Yisrocher Zvulun. I've seen it.
What, yeshivas?
Yeshivas, where they say, we have this avrech, we're going to give you, actually, whatever, I'm not going to say.
No.
I know people that got it very intimately. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And there are people who will not do that, but Shemaif, and because of Rav Moshe, what they say, you can't give out a tudah like that. There's a guy giving 50% of his income. If he gets 50% of his income, fine. But these guys are not giving. When they give out the tudah, they say, okay, give us $600 a month, $800 a month, $1,000 a month. And you walk into the house and see a beautiful tudah, whatever. And they made an agreement, they signed it and everything like that. Rav Moshe is very, very chamer.
No, you're right. Mm-hmm. That wouldn't work for a mission.
Why?
Because obviously that break is not getting all his needs. He's his many of needs. Right.
What was the pasuk in the Gemara in Salusi Vulusi? You said there was a Gemara you quoted.
Which Gemara? I quoted the Meshech Chochma and the Biskarov. So two Gemaras you mentioned. One in Bava Basar Kuf Tezayin. Koshesh lechoyle betoy beisay. Yelech etzel chochom yivakesh levachmim.
No.
And there's a second Gemara, Tiny Ches. Says ain't philosophy Adam Yishmas.
Yeah,
that's right. Nasha Bekapi.
For example, Amud Aleph.
So what do you have to think? Befiim, Yifatu Befiim, Beshoyim Chazvuloi. You don't have to think. You want to turn Tzipor and Yochid.
There's a special kayach also that the Amshik Nesis Gedola gave to Tfila.
Right. So far, this Gedola.
Thank you. I heard a very nice story from Alpern about this. He said that. There was this guy in American college. You ever heard this? It was a shach. He was in American college, and they had different spiritual people coming in this course, whatever. And there was like 2 weeks that a witch was supposed to come.
A witch.
And she would tell the person his like, I don't know, they told him his something about in the person the past. And when he got up to raise his hand, he would never call on him. So he made a deal with the teacher the next week that no one should raise a hand except for him, because he thought that she was doing this. She didn't want to do him. So they taka, the whole class was quiet, and he raised his hand, and she freaked out. She threw up. She fainted. And after she came to, they said, like, what's going on? So she said, this guy, I have no power over him. He prays 3 times a day. I have no power over him. And the guy, like, was like, not like from the crazy, you know, like he wasn't some tzaddik or whatever. They went to Rav Shach and they told him, Rav Shach was like, I think it was Rav Shach, they said, got upset. He said, you need a witch to know the koyach of your tefillahs? That's what the object, don't you know? That's what teaches you about the koyach of tefillah. He got upset. Like, everyone else is in the spoil for this story, and he's just like,
Shkach. Shkach, Rabbi, Shkach.